Six-pack brought to you by the Good Feet Store. Go to goodfeet.com to find out more info and locations. And today's six-pack, and light of training camp going on. The six worst things about covering training camp. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
Now, Jason, this really only applies to Bone and I, because you haven't been out there yet this year. With all the construction they're doing, parking is a mess out there at the facility.
It's always a mess.
But it's worse than usual.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
And if you don't get down there, if you don't get out there early, it's tough to find a space. When I was out there yesterday, they told me, I went down this one row, and I got there an hour early, and they're like, find a space. There were no spaces except for ones that were occupied by cones. So I just got out of my car, took a cone, moved it, and took one of the spaces.
But That's a Aloysius move.
Man.
Yeah. No,
I asked about that. It was like,
he stole a handicap spot.
They told me to take a space. I took one.
Wow.
I don't know.
I think you just told on yourself.
Yeah, I think so.
I did what I was told.
Yeah, I got there. There were only two spots left, and I think I was 30 minutes early.
You guys know me. I'm a big leftovers guy, so I'm not out there running around eating a whole lot of stuff, especially not at training camp. But I just say, beware the Siberian crab cakes. That's just beware. Beware.
Number five.
Gigi yesterday claims that he didn't need two shirts. I can
tell
you this.
Performance
or not.
Hey. Couldn't even tell.
I need multiple shirts. It's when you go out there and you don't bring the second shirt and you've got the one stuck to you, and then you get in your car and you blast the AC, it's like, I don't know, I'm an old goofball. I'm like, I'm going to get myself sick. I know you can't get pneumonia that way, but like, that's the kind of stuff, I'm old. That's the kind of stuff that old people like me heard when they were kids. But it's not, I don't like, and then I do feel like that's not like good, like that's suboptimal. I'd rather change into a drier shirt and have that sort of start to absorb it before then I get in all the air conditioning. If you forget, like for me, again, I'm a sweater. Not having the second shirt is one of the worst things about training camp.
Sweaty shirt on the like cloth seat,
that's
not ideal.
Or if you have leather, then you get stuck to it.
Yeah, leather, probably worse.
Worse.
Because then the leather's hot.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
Boom.
You already know who's got the better six pack.
My five is similar.
I know who six pack Cordell would like the most.
The heat is coming later, but the air conditioning factor of this, after being out in the heat for all that time, you go into that the media room and it is freezing in there. It is absolutely freezing in there.
Frozen nipples.
And it's a punch to the face when you go in there after being outside for a while. So that's my five.
Kind of like that.
Number four.
And I think they do. I think they do this by design. Like they have these three fields.
Oh yeah,
and you can't see some of the stuff. Like they did this yesterday. They had so where they're on the field closest to us, and then there's something you can tell that's important going on 8 miles away, and then you're having this conversation. Should we walk over there and look at that? By the time you walk over there, like so, I think it's by design. They like doing this, but it's too big.
We're simpatico. There's 90 guys spread across like four fields, some of them all the way in the abyss, and you don't know who's going to be where beforehand. They love springing that on you, and you're like, you've got to pick your poison. There, at any given time, there are way more things going on that you can't see than you can. Except for those 11-on-11 periods when that's all that's going on. But that's out of when you're out there for 2.5 hours sometimes, that might amount to a total of 20 minutes.
I'm going to go with Jason just because, Ken, I actually like your number five. Like I like,
you like being out in the heat and then it being freezing?
Yes, I do. I do. I think I think it's kind of refreshing in a way because like if you're outside and it's really hot and then you're...
It's the naive
nice.
Bone.
I don't know. I like it.
It's a six pack of the worst things about covering training camp and Beltway Ben. Let's continue.
Number three.
This... especially when I used to bounce around to different camps, it would drive me crazy. Like, you don't really know the ground rules. Like, you're not allowed to sack the quarterback, but it's different in different places, like whether that was scored a sack or not, whether they were close enough for that to have counted as a sack. Sometimes they use weird scoring procedures, and they'll have a scoreboard up, and it'll be like 47-36, but you don't know. You know what I mean? But, like, you don't know how they got there. And, like, a lot of times you're not there long enough to, like, get the whole explanation. But, like, even, like, when there's a play and you're not sure how it went, it's not like the officials get on the mic and say, hey, that was a that was ruled this way for that reason. So you, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of nebulousness. I mean, if you're going to stand out there and watch it for 2 hours, you'd like to know internally how they graded that play.
That's fair. My three, and I don't know if either of you guys are aware of this, and I'm not going to mention any names, but it's dangerous ground out there at the castle. A member of the media stepped in a hole near one of the fields, severely sprained his ankle. He's in a walking boot right now.
Really?
So you got to watch where you walk.
Is that, boy, if that was Aloysius, you know it'd be Aloysius. I wonder if that's grounds for a lawsuit.
They might rename the facility.
Can somebody show me where that pothole is ahead of time? Draw me a map. Can somebody draw me a map of
dangerous grounds
before I go out there for the first time?
Zashi, right?
I might just accidentally Ubaldo myself.
Yeah.
Number two.
Another thing I think they do on purpose, some days, and I love that the kids are out there, and I love that they get autographs afterwards.
Oh, come on.
But they're screaming right where we are.
Oh, stop.
You can't hear what the guys are saying. Well, our job is to get quotes from people. I can't hear them because the kids are screaming. Why can't they move the kids down to the other end to do autographs?
They could do that, but you know the answer. You've answered your own question.
I just said that. That's one of the parts.
But they can't take it out on the kids.
I'm not taking it out on the kids. Move the kids. So they're not screaming right where we're trying to do our post-practice interviews.
They're not moving the kids. And the kids are going to scream. The kids are excited.
The kids can scream at the other end. Yes, let them scream at the other end of the stands.
So you want the kids confined in a pen at one end of the stands and where they're not going to be able to get any autographs or talk to the players because the players are with the media over here.
The players go to the kids. They only let kids get autographs now. No adults can get autographs. The players go to the kids. So move the kids a little further away from where we're trying to do our jobs.
I'm hearing the Ken hates children.
That's how I'm hearing
too. I'm kind of interpreting that.
Yeah, I feel like the kids are catching the shrapnel here.
It's not the kids. Move
then
them.
Who is it? Call them out. Move say the name.
The Ravens. Move the kids.
Give me a name.
I don't have a name. I don't know
I'd
who
say Sashi.
Call.
I would go. I'm going to give you a name. That's I'm going to give you a name. Call. I'm going to give you an assist.
Come I think
that sounds like Sashi to me.
I think it'd be pretty simple to move the kids to the other end of the stands. Let them scream over there so we can hear the answers. That's all.
That's funny.
My two is the ridiculous, like narc level that certain people employed by the team take in trying to. Like watch over anything anybody in the media does as if they're guarding the Watergate papers. Like it is ridiculous. Like you can't, if you're on your phone, when you're on your phone, how you're on your phone, can you walk there? No, you can't walk here.
That is annoying.
Yes, you can do this rope. No, you can't be behind that rope. Yes, this line means that. I mean, it is, dude, it's fake football, which I'll get to at number one. It's fake football. It's not state secrets. There's fans there who are able to capture everything. The amount of time and effort and just skulldrudgery waste coming up with all these stupid rules and then enforcing them. Grow up.
Number one.
At the end of the day, it's fake football.
Underhanded or dishonest behavior, often involving trickery or deception.
Yeah. Yeah. Bone learns things on this show.
Dude, he says it. He's a wordsmith.
Yes.
So he just throws out words that I've never heard before.
Number one's the heat, man. Like, it was brutal yesterday.
Well, you're standing in the heat for fake football.
Yeah. I just, and thank God for performance wear, because it would have been a mess yesterday. If I was wearing cotton, I'd have looked like I took a shower out there yesterday. That's how hot it was.
Way to take down the ginger gorilla.
That's an upset.
Well, I think the cheap shot at the kids. I thought that
yeah, that was
it's not a shot at the kids. The kids can still get their autographs.
It was.
I'm not saying the kids can't do anything.
I had to pull it out of you that ultimately you were mad at Sashi. But
I
didn't sound like you were.
I never said Sashi.
But I mean, who? Who are you going to put? What's desk you're going to put it on?
Why would that be Sashi?
He's the team president.
This is not a priority, but it's something because they don't care about us. But like, you could move.
They
the
care
kids
about
the
making
other.
Our lives difficult.
Maybe.
Yeah, come on. You don't come up with all these like ridiculous rules if there's not an intent.
Yeah.
You implied it. The kids are yelling there because it is going to mess up. They could do it another way.
They could move them to the other.
They
end
all
the
know
stands.
That. They're getting. They've got kids transcribing it and doing the same job. They're caught in the middle. They are human shrapnel. Hey, intern, this is going to be really hard for you, but we're going to F all the media at the same time, so you figure it out.
We will talk to Cordell.
That wasn't even on my list. That didn't even make the cut for me.
He's a seven-pack. Cordell was out there today. He joins at 5:30. But coming up next, Ravens spoke after practice. We hear from them next here on The Fan.
have surgery. I think the timeline I saw actually was accurate on the timeline that was reported. So we got a shot to get him back there right away early. We'll see. That's the good news. You know, it was early in camp, and it's not one of those major type of deals. So, but it's something. You know, it's multiple weeks.
So that's John Harbaugh confirming the Isaiah Likely reports that came out earlier today. He's got a fracture in his foot. There is a chance he could be back for week one, but he's going to miss some time. But as we talked about earlier, it's kind of good news. This is also, I do want to point out, we're a couple weeks away from John Harbaugh not talking about injuries at all, really. Early in camp, he will talk a little about them. But I think once we get into, like, even the preseason games, he will shut down about this stuff. So it's interesting that he is talking about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, time is on their side. I just, guy that big, that strong, that powerful, tiny bones in the foot. You just, something like that gets re-aggravated. You got problems. So, yes, all things considered, this is, that's easy for us to say. None of us are getting put under and whatever, getting this replaced, that replaced, this tightened up, yada, yada, yada. But yes, this could have been much worse. This was not someone that they were going to have participating in a whole lot, of fake football anyway. Practices, yes, but not much else.
Yeah, I think if you're a Ravens fan, you have to look at this with a glass half full approach, where when you heard initially they got carted off, you always fear the worst. The fact that this is year four, this isn't a super young player, this is the same offense that Isaiah Likely's been playing in, same quarterback that Isaiah Likely's been playing with, and if he just misses a game or two, as opposed to if this would have happened in the middle of the season where he would have missed 6 games, 7 games, I think all things considered, best case scenario.
I told you earlier in the show that Zay Flowers looked like he tweaked something during practice yesterday. He was kind of walking it off. He did not practice today. Harbs on Zay Flowers.
Yeah, he and a couple other guys that you didn't see are all camp type, you know, things that you really just need to not go out for a few days on. So he'll be back in a few days.
Doesn't seem overly concerned, and he will probably be back in a few days. And obviously, Jason, guys get banged up, they get nicked, they have things that happen to them during camp.
Yeah, you're going to be take every precaution and be smart about this stuff. And that's one of the many inherent advantages when you have a coaching staff that's established and a style of play that's established, and you know, a playbook that's established. You're always trying to take it to a higher level, and you've got a roster that's established. There's not that many first and second year players who haven't already made an impact here, who are going to be asked to make a significant impact. And the ones who are, like a Malachi Starks, who we've already talked about, are incredibly diligent in their preparation. And frankly, Georgia's running an NFL team right now. I mean, Georgia right now is like Alabama was 4 years ago. Like, it's the 33rd team. So this ain't really all that new to him. The caliber of athlete is, you know, it's different than obviously being on a college campus. You're out in the real world. There's a lot of adjustments you have to make. But in terms of the preparation to play huge football games every weekend, that's not new to him.
Yeah, and when it comes to Zay, and really we saw this with Jaire Alexander already, Rashad Bateman already, time's on your side. It's July 30th. It's not December 30th when you're trying to win a division or get the one seed. You can hold guys out if it's minor things. Heck, even DeAndre Hopkins missed a day already. So it's okay. It's training camp.
Chidobe Awuzie had missed a couple days, and then there was one day where he was out there, but he really didn't do much. When I was out there yesterday, he impressed me a bit. Harbaugh on Awuzie.
Yeah, really stepping up the last day or two. You know, I think he's really starting to feel healthy, and boy, he knows how to play. You know, he's smart. Still learning the ins and outs of the defense, but he's a real quick learner. When you talk to him about it, he picks it up really fast. So very excited about him.
Similar to Jaire Alexander, though, you hope you can keep him on the field, because it's a concern. Both these guys have already missed practice time.
I mean, if they're able to get 12 to 14 regular season games out of Jair Alexander and have him healthy for the playoffs. I think they'd all sign up for that right now.
Yeah, him and Awuzie, I think, you know, behind closed doors, they're probably hoping, okay, can we get one healthy season out of the two of those guys? And I think that that's
and somehow have them both on the field for the playoffs.
Yes, exactly.
Bo Brade's been laying the lumber at training camp early. Harbs talks about the former Terp.
I think Bo is flying around. He's playing really well. I saw him. He's the first guy in the weight room in the morning. Saw him in there this morning, and he was lamenting the plays that he didn't make. So you appreciate that mindset. But very determined, very serious, doing a good job. Really good.
Bo Brade hoping probably
never
to be a
when the boss man sees you there super early.
And he's also smacking some people around. I think he depleted Keaton Mitchell yesterday.
You know, another guy who created a little bit of buzz last year.
One of those undrafted guys, Jason.
Yeah. Have a way of sticking around. That. And he'll be playing a lot of fake football.
Yes.
And assuming they don't bring in another safety from the outside.
I don't think that's imminent. I mean, I don't think that's happening.
I don't think so either, but there's an opportunity for a Bo Brade or a Sanusi Kane to carve out a little bit of a role on this defense.
By the way, Sanusi Kane looks the part a little bit. He's completely, like, his body looks different. He's moving better. He depleted a guy yesterday as well. I'm with Jason. I don't think there's an imminent veteran safety signing coming for this football team. Remember, I always have to, like, check my – they love cheap labor. And I know they love they talk to us like all the time about like that's why they value these draft picks so much. It's control cost.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, they get what they want in these CBAs. They didn't want to have to bend over for rookies, and they didn't remember we had Matt Stafford coming in with the highest guarantees in NFL history,
and then
Sam Bradford the year after that. Like they, we
shut that down. Shut that down.
Nah, wage scale, rookie wage scale.
Coming up next, we'll talk more training camp with our guy, Cordell Woodland. He was out there today. What did he see? He'll tell us next here on The Fan. Ravens through another day of training camp practice out of one winning drive. Our own Cordell Woodland was there, and he joins us now courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Cordell, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So what stood out for you at today's practice?
Well, I mean, it wasn't a great day for the offense. Mm-hmm. Kind of the ball was going all over the place. Sometimes into defenders' hands, but not a really a great day. I just kind of thought they lacked energy, to be honest with you. Tyler Loop going 9 for 9. That's another really good day for him. 53 yards is his longest. Today was a day where they did allow kind of some of the veterans to not get the complete day off, but, you know, they're out there. They're just not getting the same amount of reps that they usually get. So this is guys like that, at least that I noticed. Ronnie, Van Noy, Bateman, who had been battling the illness this week. So with those guys not being out there, there was room for some of those young guys to step in. No Boom kind of filled in for Stanley, got to get a look at him. So and it wasn't necessarily like it was anything to write home about, but definitely he got more looks than he has to this point. And today, I mean, the threes went fully live at the end of practice. That was kind of a good drill. It ended up getting capped off with a touchdown from from Devin Leary to Sam Pitts, who he kind of read the blitz really well and hit Pitts right up the seam in the middle of the defense. He basically walked into the end zone. But outside of that, I mean, you got guys that's still been making plays. Bo Brade has still been great. I don't think he wants to take the pads off, to be honest with you. He keeps hitting everybody. Awuzie was solid today. And another Mark day. And really, you know, obviously likely he's not out there right now. But since they put the pads on, Mark has been a heavy target for Lamar.
My bad. Go ahead.
well, John Harbaugh, he confirmed the reports this morning. Isaiah Likely with the fractured foot. He's going to undergo surgery, and it sounds like 6 to 8 weeks or so. Got carted off yesterday. Obviously, you never want to suffer a fractured foot, Cordell, but it is July, and all things considered, maybe a best-case scenario?
I mean, if there's a silver lining to be had, it's that. If you want to have an injury, you want it to happen now or in mini camp or something like that, especially if it's an injury you can come back from. And that's the spot that they're in right now with Likely. They haven't even played a preseason game yet. So this is kind of the best case scenario for that, as opposed to the alternative. I mean, look, you had Zay miss the playoff games last year, and that wasn't a season-ending injury. It was just a bad timing injury. So this one kind of seems like it, I don't want to say it worked out in their favor, because obviously Likely is a huge loss, but to be able to get him back early in the season, even if it isn't week one, is still a win for them. My only thing is, you know, what's he going to look like? It's a foot injury. I mean, we've seen guys, Marlon just a couple of years ago, struggle for the entire year after coming back from a foot injury. So that's kind of my thing, is how long is it going to take Likely to kind of get back to looking like himself? I don't think he needs time to catch on to the offense. He knows the offense. But in terms of getting back to being Isaiah Likely, that may take a little bit of time.
In the interim, obviously, we get a little bit more maybe of Charlie Kohler. They're still going to keep Andrews, I think, on something of a pitch count. Could we unearth some interesting depth at the tight end position? Do you think there's an athlete or two who could emerge a little bit, at least as an interesting summer subplot as they try to start getting through these joint practices and games coming up?
I don't feel like there is, to be honest with you. Sam Pitts is there. He had the touchdown today. I mean, you never really know what these guys can do until they get into a game. So maybe that's a part of it, because I don't know who half of these dudes are.
Neither do we, brother.
Behind them. So, you know, we kind of got to get a look at them, but it wouldn't shock me if, you know, they just decide to kind of pivot off of that. And maybe that means Keaton Mitchell finds a way to get on the field, or maybe another extra receiver gets out there, or more Ricard, who knows. But I don't get the sense, at least right now today, that there's like some gem in the tight end room that we don't know about that's about to take over. Even Kohler being there, I mean, he's not likely. You know, he's not likely. No. I think Kohler's fine. I like Kohler, but he can't give you the same things that Likely can in the past game. So I do think he'll be missed if he does miss time, and if it does take him some time to get back to being himself.
Talking with Cordell Woodland, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. Cordell, we were talking earlier, and just being out there yesterday, how much Malachi Starks and Mike Green seem to look the part? Do you feel the same way when you watch those guys with the pads on?
Definitely. I mean, Malachi, we've gotten a nice sample size from him now on the back end of summer at this point. And he just kind of gives off this veteran energy. I don't know. It's just something about him that it doesn't seem like he's a rookie. And it goes beyond just the play on the field, just the way he moves, the way he talks at the podium. He seems calm out there. And for a lot of rookies, the speed of the game can kind of be the thing that does them in early in their career. That hasn't been an issue with him, despite him going up against Lamar every day and these receivers that they have every day and these tight ends. I mean, he just looks the part. That's the one thing I can say about Starks. It's not like he's out there getting an interception every day at practice. He just is out there staying the course. He just looks like he's not hurting them, and his presence out there feels like, at least, it helps them. Kind of similar with Mike Green. He's, you know, he's a good talker at the podium too. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders, but, you know, obviously the big thing with him, got to stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
And if he can, I do think there's a pathway for Mike Green to really be a contributor for these guys right away. Chuck Smith was raving about him the other day. And every time I've watched him, especially these last 3 days, that they've been in pads, he does look impressive to me. I'm not trying to kind of gas him up or anything, but he's out there winning one-on-ones. He's quick off the line of scrimmage. He has a motor, unlike, you know, one that can be rivaled by other guys on this team. He definitely sticks out when 45 is on the field. So, again, these games are going to matter. How much are they going to play? I don't know. I'd imagine Mike Green probably plays a little more than Malachi Starks does. But either way, I want to see some plays made from these guys in the preseason, considering they'll be going up against backups.
Cordell, you brought up Keaton Mitchell earlier, and just being out there Monday, it seemed like his explosiveness was back, his agility is back. But we heard Todd Monken last time he met with the media when asked about Keaton Mitchell's usage, and he brought up the point, hey, Derrick Henry wasn't here in 2023 when Keaton Mitchell really bursted onto the scene. How do you see Mitchell's usage in this offense? And I know we got the rest of the preseason, but right now, how do you see his usage?
Limited. To be honest with you, it's probably going to be limited. I mean, where does he fit in right now? Henry is obviously Derrick Henry. And how much is he getting taken off the field? The Ravens kind of laughed at the notion last year that they would kind of be on this unofficial load management thing with Derrick Henry to try to save him for the back end of the season. That wasn't really the case. Justice Hill got even better last year for them, especially on third downs and pass protection. And God, he was a godsend for them in third and longs, and some of those screen passes to him or some of those check down passes, he turned a lot, made a lot out of a little. So I just think it's going to be a struggle for Keaton. That's why it will behoove him to definitely win that kick return job so he can get the ball in his hands on special teams, because that is a huge need for them. And it would seem like Keaton would be perfect for that type of role. But in terms of the offense, I think they'll try, you know, but I don't think they'll go out of their way, especially like you said, that quote from Todd Monken. I don't think Monken is out here trying to hand out participation awards. He's not just giving carries just because. So unless there's a situation where something's going wrong with Henry or Hill, I mean, I struggle to see Keaton getting more than three carries a game. And that is, I think even that's being kind.
You and Beltway Ben back at it tomorrow.
Yeah, we're back at it tomorrow. Tomorrow should be a fun day. Obviously, training camp still going on. No pads. John told us they'll be in shells, and obviously today was their third straight day in pads, so that won't be the case tomorrow, but tomorrow is the trade deadline. We'll see how busy or not busy the Orioles will be up until 6 o'clock, which, ironically enough, is when we come on.
Thanks, buddy. As always, we appreciate you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
We'll come back at the text of the day, preview tomorrow's show, and get you ready for Infinity Sports Radio coming up at 6 here on The Fan. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, because we will be all over the trade deadline. The deadline is basically 24 hours from now. But before we get into any of that, Beltway Ben, obviously, he has his show with Cordell tomorrow. And so they'll be breaking
right
down
after the deadline.
Yeah,
perfect.
They'll be breaking down
deadline
everything
reaction.
That happens at the trade deadline
that makes
tomorrow.
Sense.
Yeah. Him and Cordell will have everything they need. You need to know about the trade deadline. So that'll be
good. No offense to our buddy JR Sports Brief, but yeah. I think having those guys
yes.
on talking about local sports
yes.
on a big day like that. I got no beef with JR Sports yeah. Brief. I go on the show. I'm cool with JR Sports Brief. Okay. Right. But I'm just saying. I mean, you can get him at 7.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt nobody.
Yeah. I'll take him over
right?
8 or 9. Let the Fresh Take have the evening. Anyhow, let's get the text in.
Look, more local, the better.
Check 1-2. Check. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day.
Okay.
Text of the day is sponsored by Oarsman Automotive, driven by OarsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text of the day comes from Matt in Towson, who says, awesome to see Cedric have a few awesome games before
yep.
at Camden before he's traded. Nice to also take 3 of 4 from the top team in the division.
It was a good week.
Yeah, it's been really cool seeing Cedric have these standout
definitely.
Games. Robbing 3 home runs.
Unbelievable.
And hitting multiple home runs.
Had a great diving catch yeah. as well.
Vintage. Yeah, yeah. Vintage Cedric Mullins performances.
Well, I mean, remember, Trey's last home game was the Mogabe
inside the park.
Game.
Yeah.
Like, there, I feel like there's been a few guys who, of some note, who've been dealt.
He hit Josh Lowe in the face.
Did Austin Hayes, I feel like he might have done something right before he was traded, too. Like, I feel like he was starting to get hot. Anyway. We'll see what's to come.
Yeah. Be a lot
they got a lot of work to do at the warehouse.
Yeah. Well, we got 24 hours. So you better get cooking.
They've been spinning their yarns. We know.
Yeah.
But Charlie Morton, how many people, like in the, remember that, like 2 days ago in the span of like 2 hours, you had like 4 different baseball reporters?
Yes.
Like all tweeting about Charlie Morton's amazingly robust market. All right, big dog, let's see what you get.
Bone, what do we got on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, Tony Gwynn Jr., Lucy Burge, and plenty of MLB trade deadline talk.
So, let me ask you this. We hit the air tomorrow at 2. Have the Orioles made another trade by tomorrow at 2?
They have to, right?
I would think so. I mean, I would think so. You're real. I mean, if they haven't, they're really playing with fire.
Because as you documented earlier, they're not the best at multitasking.
No. And they haven't chipped away at much. So I wouldn't be leaving all of it late. I mean, they already kind of have, but I really wouldn't leave like 8 potential trades to the final 4 hours before the deadline.
That could be fun, though.
Because those teams are talking to other teams, too. Yes. And you could be left at the altar and not even realize it.
Remember when they had to settle for Jack Flaherty? That was fun.
That was great. Pooped on that in real time. Had that one pegged.
The real General Soreness, not the new General Soreness, the original, the OG.
He was the real General
Soreness. The OG General Soreness.
If anybody was a worthy successor, we found him.
Yes, we have.
So I give Mike Elias all the credit in the world for that one. You found
not
two
one, but two
you
generals.
You found two General Sorenesses in about 18 months. Good on you.
That's it for us. Infinity Sports Radio coming up.
Would
next
it be General Sorni? Yeah. What would be the plural of if you got two General Sorenesses? I think it would be. I feel like it would be. It would be General Sorni.
The Sorni.
Yeah, I think it's you. General Sorni.
Infinity Sports Radio coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow too. Here on the Fan.